Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 24. What if your mom kicked you out on the streets?
Oh, my childhood was rough. Trouble after trouble after trouble. Always had a hard life. Like, my life has never been easy. My family's been on warfare. My mom was always sick and in and out of the hospital. I mean, we had to grow up pretty fast to help my mother out. My father, he wasn't really there. I love taking care of elderly people. I get frustrated sometimes because they'll get frustrated and cuss me out. But, you know, you expect that. I mean, they're going through a lot. Their body's, not working the way it used to. And they want their independence back. And they feel like caregiver comes and kind of takes away their independence. So it's rough. But I love taking care of elderly people. I love being there for them. Certain clients I've had, I've had clients with dementia and was combative. Alzheimer's, so they'll forget who I was. It's been a little crazy. Even though some of them just as mean and hateful as ever, but they're great people. This was just last year. Me and my mom had not been getting along well, and so we were always arguing or always getting into it. So she kicked me out, and I didn't have anywhere to go, so I went and stayed with a friend. My friend and I didn't get along well. And we really didn't get into it, we were arguing, but she was just like, okay, I think it's time for you to go. So at that point, I had absolutely nowhere to go. I was 21. My client fell down the stairs and ended up getting transferred to a rest care, so I lost my job. I ended up with absolutely nowhere to stay, didn't have a dime in my pocket, nothing. And I was homeless. I'm not the stereotypical black woman who's just on welfare with her baby's daddies. I don't have kids. I was out there looking for work, and then I ended up finding this car that was this bucket. It was $500. You can expect much life in it. But I got that car and I started living in the car. Maybe in August, I went and started living with this lady being her nanny. My car, and I was only with her for a week. My car broke down. This was on a Friday. So I wasn't going to be able to get my car till Wednesday. That lady was like, oh, you can't stay here. You got to go. 10:30 at night, she kicked me out. Walked down the street, turned the corner, sat down over there by those two hotels on 18th Street. As soon as I sat down, there was a guy in front of me and a guy behind me, and they pulled out the gun, told me to give them everything I had, started cussing me out and calling me all these names. From that point, I don't quite remember much of what was going on because I think I was either in shock. I peed on myself. I was so afraid. On August 6th, I found a job. I worked that job for 2 weeks. I got paid on that Friday. My bank account it was under fraud because someone was trying to get into my account. So my account was on a freeze, it got frozen. And so I had walked around with the money so that I had that paycheck, probably about $600, had that money on me. And my laptop and my purse and all of my information, social security card, ID, birth certificate, everything was in my purse when they stole it. They, took all of my things. I ended up in the hospital for about 2 days. I wasn't feeling well. When I got there, my blood pressure was, sky high. I have high blood pressure and it was sky high. And it was we're gonna have to keep you here. Your blood pressure's too high. You're having bleeding. We don't know where this blood's coming from. It was just really crazy. I got out of the hospital, went straight to school, I was going to school for business at LMC. And at school that night, it was gospel choir. That's the only reason why I went. Everything was kind of crazy, shaky. There's a Starbucks on 8th Street. I would go into a Starbucks and I would sleep there, and then throughout the night I'll be up. So I would kind of fall asleep on the couch at Starbucks, wear my glasses so they couldn't tell. Sure, they probably knew. Like, I would sleep at the Starbucks in the daytime, and then at nighttime I'd be just walking around, just doing stuff, just walking around. Most of the time, like sometimes I would go be at the police station, and I'll sit over there and I'll talk to a police officer, you know, stuff like that. There were certain policemen that would sit with me and talk to me until they had to end their shift. It was crazy because at that moment, though, I had people that were like, okay, some different churches, they were like, okay, you can come stay at our house for a few days. But there were times where I didn't have absolutely nowhere to go. And that was were crazy nights. After I had been robbed, I was too afraid to go to school, so I dropped out of school. I dropped out that semester. I went to school the next day, and it was like that experience was, I was seeing guys that looked similar to them. I was freaking out in class. I mean, I was just having a really hard time, like, scared, shaking in the bathroom. I was crying. Like, what if they come back after me? Like, they have my birth certificate, my social security card, my ID. They know what I look like. They know where I'm from. They know who I am. Absolutely have no idea who they are. So I was scared. I dropped out. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to do anything. Even when I was going to Starbucks, every time I see someone that looks similar to them, I'm like just fearful, just scared, grabbing my clutching onto stuff. Like, I hope these guys come back after me. It's not like I can hide anywhere because I'm out in the open. I'm out where everyone is. I can't hide. They can come back and get me anytime. Oh, we didn't get to finish her off. Let's go kill her. You know, that came through my mind a lot. And the sad thing is that the men who robbed me were black. So sometimes I'll see black people and I grab my stuff. Like, black men, I'll grab my things. It's like, I don't trust them. It's really sad, and I know that that's something that, you know, it's not fair, because now I know that not all black men are like that, but you can't tell my mind that, you know. So I am currently getting therapy so that someone could work with me and kind of get me out of that fear. I was homeless like that for, where I was without a place to live, period. I had been like that since May. So May, I was homeless. June, I was homeless. July, I was homeless. August, I was homeless. September is when I moved. Things at that point started going uphill for me. Everything, you know, the biggest thing that turned around for me was when I got the job. I can tell you that I have absolutely no idea how they got my information. I don't know. The lady just calls me and says, hey, we want to do an interview with you. And I was like, okay, but I don't know how they got my information. I told her, you know, my car broke down. She calls me while, like, I was supposed to be at the interview at 10 o'clock. She calls me at about 11 and says, hey, are you going to come? I said, yeah, I'm going to be here. Sorry, you know, it was just my day's not going well. She's like, okay. So then she calls me again at about 1 o'clock and says, okay, well, come sign the paper. If you got the job, you'll be working tomorrow. Yeah, that's what she did. She said, you have the job, you'll be working tomorrow. I came in there, signed the papers. Was working the next day in home care, being taking care of elderly. So yeah, and I still take care of the same woman to this day. My client didn't know that my car got stolen. I never told them because I didn't want them to say, okay, we're gonna have to find someone else. So I made it happen. I was paying people, you know, every week to take me to get to make sure I got to work, and I made it to work, and then I got a car. The car ended up getting hit when I was in Walmart. A nice brand new 2008 Suzuki. So that car ended up getting taken back. I love that car to death. I cried for like a whole month because that car was like so, like my whole family, my friends, everyone was proud of me. They're like, you have a really nice car. This car is so awesome. It's great. Oh my God. I'm so proud of you. And then the car gets taken. I was so hurt. And now I have this car that's 2004 Saturn. It's all right. It gets me from A to B. Since then, it was uphill, but that was the hardest part of my whole life. Like, I cried every night. Every night, I would record myself on my laptop and sit there and walk through, like, tell people about my experience, like, this is what happened. I'll be crying, but I will let people know this is what I'm going through, and people are kind of walking through my life. I wish it never got stolen, because I was going to make, like, a diary and make, like, this nice little documentary of what was going on. I guess, you know, it got taken, so what can I do? My family wasn't there. Like, I really wanted them to be there. I mean, they tried. I mean, they were over 2,000 miles away. What could you expect? But, you know, it was just, I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anyone I could talk to at that time. I was very lonely, and I think that was the hardest part about being homeless and did not have anyone I could talk to. I was going crazy. I would be crying, like, just screaming and crying, like, God, this is so painful. I wish I had someone to call. I wish I had someone that I can, you know, just make me forget about this whole day. And then in the midst of all of that, I was, my faith was like, there's like, I want to eat today. Every night, somebody every night was getting me something. You know, I met people. I even had people put me off into hotels. I was able to take my blood pressure medication because I did have high blood pressure. You know, I would see people, like happy couples, and I would see people in their families, and I would see them being happy, and I would say, one day that's going to be me. So I can't lose faith now. I can't lose hope now. I can't turn to things that will, you know, I can't turn to drugs, I can't turn to drinking. All it will do is mess my life up. At that time, I think I had the greatest faith in the whole world. I said, God's going to make a way. He's going to get me out of this situation. He's going to do something. You know, like, I really believe that God was going to, I was like, God's going to help me get, he's going to send me a job. He's going to send me something. He's going to give me something, because I've been through way too much. And in the midst of that, like, he sent me a job. I got me a place, got me a car, got on my feet, became independent, was able to just take care of myself. And I've been that way since I first got my job, just taking care of myself and doing what I need to do. And I still smile, I'll still laugh, I still have a good time, because I feel like nothing's gonna knock me out. I'm strong, and even through all of that, I still made it. And I feel like at the time when I was homeless, that's when I realized that all I really have is myself. Because a lot of the people that I thought was going to be there, they kicked me. They stumped me. They stumped me to the ground. I was already on the ground. I was like, how can I get any lower? But I got flattened. It never came to me to go take a, you know, hit of some drug. Because I know that stuff's not going to help you. It's a temporary relief. Just like, you know, I was told that, hey, maybe you should see a psychiatrist. I said, so what? So they can put me on medication that's going to temporarily help me? I was like, you try being homeless with nowhere to go, no one to call, no one to talk to you, and you tell me you won't make you kind of be, you know, sad. I wasn't depressed. I can honestly say that. Like, everybody didn't believe me. I was never depressed in that time. I was sad. I was sad because I didn't have people that was there for me. But I never woke up and said, I'm not going to go look for work. I don't want to do anything. I didn't want to go to school because I didn't want to face the idea of, oh my God, what if I see those guys? What if they go to my school? I didn't go to school because I didn't want to. I wanted to, but I was afraid. I want to die. I was like, not in this situation. I want to get better before I die. Like, I don't want to die in this mess. Let me see the goodness of how good God is before I leave this earth. Because if I die in my mess, I'll feel like, well, God can't be that good. I died in the midst of all this craziness, you know? No one's obligated to be there for you. No one's obligated to take care of you. If you have people that's willing to be there for you, take that and run with it. Because a lot of us are going through some of the hardest times in our life, and we don't have anyone. No one else is there for me. No one else loves me. God loves me. 2010-11 was a really tough time for me. 2012, you know, things got better, but 2013, I want to make it happen. I want to make, you know, no excuses. I want to be successful, and I want to tell my life story.